Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Beans, broadcasting live from the back alleys of Babylon. We babysit the binary blip inside your brain with a combination of badinage and technical tabulations, helping to sacralize your senses to the salacious songs of liberty.
Wow.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Jim Babb? Can you feel
it? Yeah.
Michael Dean and Steve Miller?
Very much.
Of course.
And we should also mention that the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. And what does that do, Jim?
That means it can be reused by anybody except government. Learn and more at BIPCOT.org.
Worms.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too bad they didn't give you BIPCOT.NoGov.
That should be an extension. People keep trying to make alternate ways to do DNS, you know, to not rely on governments, because pretty much the U.S. government controls all of them, like .com, .net, .uk, controls all of them except, I think, NK, North Korea. I
think that's we know the people in Washington, D.C. would obviously control .xxx, so.
Yeah, so, and it's just a big scam.
.std. I mean,
they released like 1,000 new ones recently, and, you know, really, like, the hackers that are trying to work on alternate ones basically have the point of, like, you should be able to have .anything. You know, you should be able to have, like, .supercalifragilisticexpialidocious and have it work, but the closest anyone's come is Namecoin, and I got heavily behind Namecoin for a while, and, I don't know, man. It just didn't work out.
That was like a big pump and dump operation. Tricked me into buying like $10 worth of Namecoin. And
it wasn't a pump and dump. Although some of the people involved in it were like, actually, I believe, like, who made it were squatting names, but they were doing it really stupidly. Generally, when you squat a name, you know, the idea, whether this is ethical or not, the idea is when somebody goes to the website, you know, jimbab.bit, you know, you should have something there that says, "Hi, Jim Babb, we know you want this. We'll sell it to you for $1,000. Please email us at..." But they didn't even do that. So, like, there was no way. They didn't think far ahead.
Right, well, because people were buying, like, 1,000 domains at a time. They were so cheap, right?
Yeah, like, 6 cents each. Yep.
So what is my $10 worth of Namecoin worth now? Like, when I bought it, like...
So less than your name. They were, like, $6 when you bought them, probably?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they're like less than a tenth of that. I've got millions of them, or dozens, hundreds, dozens.
But is there still any of these .bit domains? Is that...
No, there's like millions. Every word in the dictionary is squatted. And then there's like 20 actual working domains, and I own about 15 of them. And 10 of them at least are just...
But, you know, that's okay. I like the idea. I like the idea that there's a marketplace for this concept, and eventually somebody's going to, you know, find out some great ways of doing it. It's probably just take some trial and error. So
I like that there's a market in which Michael Dean is the number one player, that he's the Warren Buffett in a certain...
He's got 75% of the market cornered having 15 of the 20 .bit websites.
Yeah, I don't have most of the coin, but I have most of the working domains, which is the point of the coin, right?
Right.
And I honestly believe, and I think rightfully so, that I crashed the price of it, because it was $6 a coin when I got involved. Derek Slopey and I came up with MeowBit, which was a way to actually view .bit domains, you know, as an extension anywhere on your system, not just in a browser. And all of a sudden, it started getting press. Like, people started writing about it again, whereas people, it'd been around for 3 years, everyone had squatted it, no one was using it. But the coins were still $6 because the idea was good, but nobody was doing anything with it, so she was kind of considered dead. And then, you know, we started getting it press, and then all of a sudden, I thought we were going to drive the price up substantially. We drove the price down, because what happened was people started mining it again and did kind of dump a lot of it on the market, because it's mixed mining. You can mine it along with Bitcoin, and that was right around the time that Bitcoin was really getting expensive to mine, and you couldn't do it on normal hardware anymore, and you had to really get, you know, dedicated hardware, and most people that were mining casually were getting out of it. But the fact that Namecoin suddenly could be mixed mining, like, was in the press. People were the kind of like non-professional Bitcoin miners who made some money back when it was easy, all of a sudden were like, hey, I'll do 50% Namecoin for a while. And then they dumped that, and it just, the price went to like almost zero.
Namecoin was my gateway drug to Dogecoin.
Dogecoin.
Yeah, Derek Freeman told me about Namecoin, and I'm like, Namecoin? What other coins are out there? And then I learned about Dogecoin, and then never.
How about Tatiana coin?
Until right now.
What did people do with their Tatiana coin? That's what I want to know. Did you ever get Tatiana coin?
No.
Oh, you're, yeah.
We were going to do a Fiends one called Wormcoin, and I still have wormcoin.bit and .com, I think.
Nice. Maybe.
You kids and your coins.
My daughter wants...
Find the price I'm for still Tatiana in the, coin.
I'm still in the dark ages. I got silver.
You don't have your own cryptocurrency, Chandler?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No.
My daughter is working on two of her own cryptocurrencies, and this is Violet. She's 9. She's like, yeah, I'm going to have my cryptocurrency. I'm like, okay, let's see.
How do you make them? I know there's like almost a automating program for it now.
Yeah, that's a hard part, but just the fact that she even wants to figure it out is intriguing. So,
well, you know what's really cool is I was talking to my kid, I don't know, a couple months back, and she started asking me about Bitcoin and what the deal is with it. Like, she kind of knew what it was from listening to me and going to Porkfest, but she didn't really know. And I asked her, I said, what brought that up? She's like, oh, I heard some kids at school talking about it. I was like, really?
What?
You should talk to those kids more often.
The fact that your daughter... Sorry.
No, it's just kind of cool that it's mainstream.
Jump in there, Steve Miller.
Well, the fact that your daughter asked you what is the deal with Bitcoin makes me think that she's like this pint-sized Jerry Seinfeld. It's like, what is the deal with Bitcoin?
I mean, you call them mine. He prints things, man.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yep. I can't even find the price for Tatiana coin. That was one reason I never... okay, let's see. So Namecoin is $0.46. So it's about 25 cents. It's gone up. It was like 6 cents last time I checked. So we probably went up just now from us talking about it. Bitcoin.
How about Safecoin?
400 something, isn't it? Isn't Bitcoin at 400?
Yeah.
Right now?
Bitcoin's around 4, yeah.
Yeah, I actually contracted to do some work for somebody tonight. They paid me $130 in Bitcoin. No, $150. I went to spend it 10 minutes later and it was only worth $130. Did that ever happen to you guys?
No.
And it's my fault.
I've had the opposite happen.
You can't tell the person, hey, give me more. It's like that's the price of admission, is being willing to have that happen.
It could go either way.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like traveling to a different country. Sometimes the exchange rate breaks your favor, sometimes it doesn't.
I know. Hey, I got a new one. It's 1099. That's the CB code for talk closer to the mic.
Oh, 1099. It's the same as the tax form you have to fill out for that
say,
Bitcoin
that's
transaction.
Awful. That is a cursed number. Yeah.
1099 is awful.
You know, the reason I never did Wormcoin for the Fiends is the Tatiana coin problem. Like, she's probably a great person. People like her. She's pretty. She can sing. But if your coin is worthless, it kind of reflects on you.
But it was somehow involved in raising money for her to make an album or something. I don't really know. I can't explain it.
Well, I had a thought. Here was my thought with Wormcoin, and maybe she did something similar, was I had a solution for the pizza problem. The pizza problem is initially giving value to a cryptocurrency, because Bitcoin was worth nothing until somebody bought two pizzas. And wasn't it like 10,000 Bitcoin for two pizzas?
Something on that magnitude.
And after that, it started to have a little bit of value. You know,
I'll make that pizza right now. 10,000 Bitcoin,
like $4 million or something. Yeah. So what I was going to do was Wormcoin. My plan was for people to be able to mine it and buy ads on Freedom Fiends with it. This is back before I decided to just give our ads away to, like, you know, antiwar.com and Fija.org. But it was like, you know, here's something that has an established value, supposedly. I will accept your coin that you mine with our name on it for ads. And I never got around to it, but I think if somebody wants to start a cryptocurrency, they need to have a built-in plan for the pizza problem. And that was actually a problem. That was a good thing to do. Like, I wouldn't want to do pizza because I'd have to make or buy pizza. But, you know, we have all this ad space, or we had all this ad space that we could, you know, I could go out and hustle my butt off and sell it, or we could give it to the ecosystem of a new coin. So I would suggest, if anybody wants to create a cryptocurrency, to have a built-in something, like, you know, I'll write a song for you or whatever. Something people want, maybe.
Well, the Tatiana coin, I'm looking at her website right now. She calls it an artist coin. And she says, these are artist-owned digital tokens that can empower an artist's freedom. They allow an artist to gather support from their community through long-term fundraising and really getting to know their fan base. They can allow fans exclusive access to their newest work.
Okay, so that's a lot of that sounds really amorphous and hippie and meaningless, except the last part. It sounds like maybe
could get you backstage.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's a marketing. Yeah. It's, I don't want to say it's a scheme, but it's a marketing tool, right? It helps you spread your art. I actually think that's kind of a good idea. If coming from the artist,
it's worth trying. I don't know if this ever got anywhere or not.
I have some Phoenix coin. You guys know Phoenix coin? No, Phoenix coin is one of the many, many that are worth like nothing. I have like
It'll rise. It'll rise from the ashes.
No, it won't. That's the point.
Well, then why do they call it Phoenix coin?
Well, also Phoenix coin. They should call it. Phoenix coin had a scam problem. Like half the developer team, like forked it and ran off with the website and stuff. And I think I got the other side of the team's coins or something. But none of them are worth almost anything now.
Is Ron Paul coin still around?
Was that a thing?
Ron Paul coin was a thing. I'm pretty sure there was one called Hooker coin, which, Hooker I mean, coin? If you want to talk about having a built-in purpose.
Well, if there's hookers that take it.
Yeah, carry around your QR code while you're walking the streets. Yeah.
Get the little scanner right there.
Well, there was some hooker that said she was going to get it tattooed on her lower back, but you don't want to reuse the same.
Also, what if your skin goes all wrinkly?
Hooker, the same hooker, or code.
Worms.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Freedom Fiends. 1075.
I don't know what that is.
That means you are causing interference, and the Freedom Fiends pretty much just cause interference everywhere we go.
Nice.
Yep.
That's what we do.
Yeah, these were sent to me today. The 10 codes were sent to me by Nathan the Ninja Squirrel. So, yeah, man, tomorrow night on the Freedom Fiends is going to be a replay, because Lou is somewhere with no internet. I think he's in Antarctica and or in a Faraday cage. In the West Poles.
See, I think I've proven that you can do Fiend Phone remotely from some of the weirdest places.
Yeah, I think so.
But we tried it today, and he couldn't. Like, he just kept getting knocked off. I mean, sometimes residential is probably not as good as... You were doing it from commercial places, like a library at night, and in front of the library, and you'd think, you know, out in front of the library, the Wi-Fi wouldn't be that great, but you think about that library probably has enough bandwidth to have like 20 people surfing the web all at once, and at night you're the only one using it.
So, right, there's not even other like nearby Wi-Fis to interfere with it, so.
Because you're in Maine where nobody lives.
But it's still, you know, but I also did like laundromats. I did this weird office that I just had it just had Wi-Fi and it was a strong signal when the other one didn't work as well.
So speaking of places where there's no people, this hole in Wyoming, well, out in Wyoming, and this giant hole just opened up recently in the, we're fascinated with this, man. It's like this, how big is this thing, Jim Babb?
It is 50 yards wide, and it says 6 football fields in length. I don't know why that's a unit of measurement, but that's what the Washington Post called it.
It is.
It's like 100 feet deep in some places, too.
It is a giant hole, and I just wonder, what do you guys do when one of these happens out there?
Well, they don't happen. I mean, this is the first one I know of, but and we are going to talk about voting, which is another giant hole in the ground. But
could people did people arrive there today to cast their vote? I think that would be a great place to deposit their ballot.
That's a great ballot box.
Yeah, and just, you know what, just chuck any other garbage you have as well, because just a big hole needs to be filled up. Go vote in it.
Well, I read in the newspaper today that they're thinking of raising property taxes and like adding a 1 cent state sales tax, because all of a sudden they don't have enough money for all of their things, which include like things no one should ever do, let alone a government, like, you know, the police, DEA, benevolent, teach the children well, that all drugs should be shot, and, you know, like all the tyrannical stuff they do. But here's the thing, Wyoming is a weird state. You know in the movie Blazing Saddles, where the black sheriff shows up and he's giving a speech and the preacher says, sheriff, a lot of people in the crowd are stroking their guns. Okay, this is not a very racist place, but people actually like stroke their guns at city hall meetings here. Like literally they banned carrying guns at city hall meetings in my town last year. Now, I looked at that as tyranny, but most people would be like, wait, what? You could bring guns? Yeah, like people open carried to the city hall meetings, and it was making the tyrants really mad. So whenever they talk about...
I think it was making them really nervous.
Or nervous, yeah, yeah. So whenever they talk about like raising taxes here, the politicians get nervous because people, it's all talk, but people are like, I'm going to stroke my gun and you're getting a line in the sand. And they never do anything, but they talk like that louder than they do other places because it's the Wild West and people talk like that here. But they're actually talking about raising it because here's what happened. They had like $130 million surplus, and then Saudi Arabia cut the price of oil by half, and Wyoming's an oil state. So all of a sudden, like Wyoming and North Dakota and South Dakota, like the economies kind of went from great to not so great overnight because everybody is connected to the oil industry somehow. I mean, Dick Cheney is down from $10 trillion to $8.4 trillion right now. See, he's going to have to go on food stamps, man.
But I think he's got a solution to that problem, because I think he's the one who's created the giant hole in the ground up there with his like secret weather dominator machine.
He's going to round us up like cattle and drive us into it like the Indians used to kill the bison.
Yeah, I think he's like just, you know, putting holes in the ground up in Wyoming so he can lower the property values and just buy the whole state up.
Well, he already owns most of the state, I think.
He's digging a mine for Cheney coin.
Well, he does.
There we go.
He does have a huge ranch near Yellowstone. So somebody posted, I posted this thing about the giant hole in the ground on Facebook, and someone I don't know posted this like insane, like the guy actually believed it comment of like, you need to get out of Wyoming. This is the government manipulating the weather. You're all going to die. You have your chance now to get out. And I'm thinking like, I want to know if Dick Cheney's left the state, because he would know.
Right. He's canary.
The canary
in the mine,
the canary at the Bohemian Grove.
If he's off starting wars somewhere else, I need to know about it. But if
you're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends, and yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
we were talking about giant holes in the ground, and I think going to talk about the futility of voting and how they're related.
Well, first, do you remember the documentary from The Simpsons with featuring Rainier Wolfcastle?
Yep.
On holes. from the widest gully to the deepest trench, holes define who we are and where we are going. And although Rover here may not know, he is participating in a ritual as old as time itself. He is giving birth to a hole. Or consider the dolphin, nature's most film creature. Even they have holes. Blow holes.
Wow. I miss the old Simpsons.
Oh, such good stuff.
You told that on Porpoise.
Ooh. So this hole in Wyoming, I think people should have just go cast their votes right into the hole.
Well, you could also put your complaints about the police department there.
Yeah.
Right.
I think too that like if it's not a plot by Dick Cheney to lower property values, it still could be the government. Like just they're gonna like fill it. It'll be a public works job. Like if you're down on your luck or whatever. Michael said that the oil industry was reeling because the price of oil has dropped. Well, you can just go work for the government and fill that hole.
Right. Well, they have a different department that digs the holes, and then
the other one that fills them.
Yeah, it's like that's Bernie Sanders' and both miracle.
I'm a little disappointed.
Halliburton, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Like, they dig holes all over the world.
Yeah.
First they make holes, and then they crash
the price of oil by because they can. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, one hole in Wyoming will totally crash the price of oil. That's how things work.
Yep.
I'm a little disappointed in this guy who told you about this thing, because the craziest theory he could come up with was that it's Dick Cheney trying to lower the property values. Off the top of my head, I can think of five better insane conspiracy
theories. Super volcano. Super volcano that's part of a NASA conspiracy
with
time travel.
Yeah, and the world is not even spherical.
I was performing stand-up comedy one time, and I was opening for a time traveler. And the comedian before me performed. He bombed. I got on stage. I did like a C-minus performance. And then I'm about to get off stage, and I say, okay, folks, I'm going to tell one more joke, and I'm going to get out of here. And then the director of the UFO conference we were performing at walks up to the stage, and he's like, actually, I need you to go a little bit longer because the guy who's coming after you is late. I'm like, he's a time traveler. How is he late?
They didn't say he's good at it.
Yeah.
I heard the best, funniest, dark, recycled joke on the Freedom Fiends last night I've ever heard of. Dan from Scotland. I don't know, some stand-up comedian, maybe from Scotland, maybe from somewhere else. I love this joke. I want to tell it again. Say what you want about Hitler, but he killed Hitler. It's true, man.
Yeah.
People always talk about, like, if I could go back in time and kill Hitler as a baby.
Just Hitler like Hitler did.
Yeah.
You want to be like Hitler, huh?
No.
No? Squad goals.
Carry on.
Carry on, Underwood.
Hey, I want to talk to Steve Miller about what's going on in the state of the meme universe.
Okay? Oh, yeah. The state of the memes address. You'd like me to deliver that this evening?
Maybe you could help, like, just sort of help orient me. I have just gotten lost in a wash of trolling from the Trump faction people making up memes that make Bernie look ridiculous, to them getting shared, to people making ridiculous Bernie memes to make him look ridiculous.
Well, it helps to remember that 2011 was the last time anyone in this country had a political thought or feeling that they actually held.
Okay. And articulated it.
Yeah. Everything else is just like what
I heard. 1963. Yeah.
1963, and then they were driving down the street in Dallas?
No, what I've heard actually is that there is a conspiracy theory that JFK was the last legitimately elected president, for whatever that means.
There's no such thing.
I know. Well, James, there's no morally just such thing, but, of actually, like, counting votes and counting representatives and the Electoral College and all that, like, supposedly 63 was the last time that it wasn't entirely manipulated behind the scenes by various means, but I don't care, it doesn't make it any more or less legitimate anyway.
But Jim, to give you a an overview of how the memes should be coming along pretty soon. So it's every weather source that I've spoken to, possibly connected to this hole in the ground in Wyoming, have said that it's going to be a really cold winter, and cold weather always equals stanky dank memes. Your memes are always fantastic when everyone is snowed in and they have nothing to do but sit there.
All right, but meme. I can't keep track of which side people are on. Like, for instance, about 6 months ago, somebody added me to a Donald Trump Facebook group.
I'm sorry.
I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, that's going to be hilarious. This looks like a great parody site of people, like, making fun of Trump. I'm like, so I didn't leave it. I was a member of this getting notifications from this page for 6 months before I realized it wasn't a parody, okay? I can't tell.
Jim, do you know about what I did for Bernie today?
I've heard of this.
Okay, there's a Facebook.
Sounds like an important
group. Yeah,
It's like such a deep level trolling. They banned me because I wasn't trolling well. Okay, so like they're like gaining credibility by banning people that I don't know. Is it trolling or super trolling?
It's super trolling. It's like the traveling Wilburys of meme trolling.
Wow.
Yeah, you got me, you got all these people, and it's all, so basically the focus of the group is, it's all of Bernie Sanders fans competitively going and saying all the things they did for Bernie that day. You know, maybe you talk to your neighbor who was a minority, and you always have to point out if they were of minority status.
Around the same time, FAP for Bernie came out too. I don't know if that's related.
I've never even heard of that, and I thought my Bernie trolling was on point. What's FAP for Bernie?
Oh well, it's kind of what you think it would be. So
wait, people gaining weight for Bernie Sanders?
No, not fat. FAP.
Oh, good Lord! Yeah,
leave it there.
No, yeah, we'll leave it at that. Please. But what I did for Bernie today is the intellectual version of that, you're like, and people were all, I was in line at the Home Depot for 45 minutes, and there were 30 people behind me in line, and I decided that was a great time to talk to the cashier about why she should vote in the primary.
Now, are there any like genuine Bernie supporters in the group?
So many. And they have pictures of all the things they do, and
it's scary.
Somebody has a legit tattoo, and
then other people just make up like insanely exaggerated Bernie Sanders like things and post them, and to inspire the other Bernie Sanders people to rise to that level of greatness, which is just a fictitious trolling.
Also, think of the guilt tripping just implicit in the title of the group. What I did for Bernie today. Meaning, if you didn't do anything for Bernie today, you're really like screwing this up. And you need to get out there, and you need to knock some doors and have a clip.
Well, I always like to remind these guys that it's important to donate money to Bernie. Because if we can't raise at least $100 million, there's no way he's going to get money out of politics. Right?
Right. Yep.
So we really need this. Please dig deep, folks.
$100 million is what a summer blockbuster generally goes for. So maybe if instead of having Twister 3, we could just have Bernie Sanders 1.
I'd rather have another Sharknado movie. Like,
you know what?
Sharknado.
I can't wait for. So all the board games from when we were kids are becoming movies now. They had that Battleship movie that was terrible. What I want to see is the Hungry Hungry Hippos live action movie.
Where real like life all the, action, like all the world action drama,
all the world's power is now decided by these
featuring
giant robotic
featuring
hippos
Whoopi Goldberg as the Hungry Hippo.
One of the four, and then you just have the rest of the cast of The View. We can't go too hard on The View, though, because we're basically
so that's a
The
horror
View
movie,
for
right.
We're basically The View for libertarians at bar closing time.
Well, you know, I was condemned on The View, right?
Oh, really? That's beautiful.
Yeah, the Whoopi called me out by name. This is one of my favorite accomplishments was getting condemned by Whoopi Goldberg on The View by name. So.
That's amazing. I thought
really?
I
really
good...
for what?
Yeah, it was back. I'll see if I can find the video. But we were trying to get people not to fly on Thanksgiving because of those new porno scanners had come out.
Yep.
So we were telling people not to fly, and if you had to fly, you know, go ahead and get the pat down. Just kind of jam up the works. Anyway, Whoopi was horrified and thought I was a terrorist. So
it doesn't take much to scare those people.
I thought I had it good because Bernie Sanders' Iowa campaign manager put out went on Facebook and was like, "Don't believe this man's memes."
Wow,
but man, yeah.
Well, the only thing I can claim is like, what's the main? I don't know if she's a congresswoman or a senator. The one that resigned in the right before the 2000 election. Olympia Snow. I went with a bunch of Ron Paul supporters to one of the caucus meetings, and they begged me to like be a candidate or whatever for Ron Paul, but I told them I was an anarchist and I couldn't participate morally. But I went for moral support for them because I do like that. You know, I did agree with a lot of what Ron Paul said. But anyway, I confronted her as she was walking out of the building. It was right after they did that whole, you know, basically all us people are domestic terrorists thing. And I called her on it and I talked to her for about 10, maybe 15 minutes. And she just kind of stood there like I she looked like a deer in the headlights, you know, and her, I don't know, her yes man or whatever kept saying, "No, Miss Snow, we have to go. We have another appointment." She just kept talking to me. And I was like, you know, you people are going to be in trouble. You know, you don't know who butters your bread. All these people believe in voting and they keep voting you in and giving you credibility and you're calling them terrorists. I said, I think that's going to backfire on you. Well, a week later, anyway, she resigned or whatever and said she's not running for re-election. So I like to say that I scared her out of politics.
And in her statement, she said, "Folks, everything was going okay. I had done 20 years in the Senate, and then this man with a black T-shirt and a bunch of Ron Paul buttons came up to me, and he started screaming in my face. And I said, you know what?
I just couldn't handle it.
This is the end of the road for me.
Yeah, we've done everything we can do. We're going to just walk away.
More like Olympia Blizzard, am I right?
Oh, man. I'm telling you, I don't even get into it anymore.
Snow was also the last name of the president in Hunger Games, for those of you keeping score at home.
Really?
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Wow, that's all I can say.
That's a great intro, Steve. Welcome back, Freedom Fiends.
All right. I think I need some more coffee.
Yo, we're almost to the end of the hour, so I just wanted to tell everybody listening at home that Barack Obama is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
They sure do. Yeah, I can smell them all the way up here in Maine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bernie Sanders, too, man. That cat. Whew.
God.
Well, it's Vermont.
I don't get it.
His feet are closer.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people in Maine that apparently think this is the second coming. And, like, I mean, for me, it's all nonsense. But, like, especially if you're a liberal, right, you'd think you'd get it now. Like, Obama had all these wonderful promises. He was going to be Hopi and changey and end war and fix government. And, you know, things have just gotten even more ridiculous. And
how about end government and fix war?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, Bernie has that big ad campaign that I heard they make people making a big deal about. He's done it. He's released his slogan. Get ready, folks. Bernie's new slogan: real change.
Are you serious?
Like, why are you, like, he couldn't even change up the slogan about change. Like, another change slogan. Like, hey, go with what works, right?
But isn't that all politics is? Like, just throughout
regurgitating
history?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Regurgitating memes.
I want to see some of those memes from the 1790s and 1800s.
I can't wait until the first time a candidate is accused of meme theft before. It is not fun.
Thomas Paine was the first to really use memes for political power. I don't know.
When this world is harder than it seems, you go out and make yourself some memes. Any office your tyrannical little heart desires will come to you.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Little song for the people at home.
Nice.
Yep. That's Jiminy, the dank meme cricket.
So we, I guess in Maine it was voting day today or something. I don't know. And
did you guys have a giant hole that people could throw their votes into?
No,
they have an ocean.
I think we should. Yeah, yeah. We just drop it off the coast. But we had a couple of bond issues. I think they are, and one of them is to revise the Maine Clean Elections Act, right? Because it's not clean enough.
Oh yeah,
this time
we're gonna fix it.
Yeah, this time we're gonna fix it. I don't even know if it passed.
We're gonna take money out of politics, you know, but like this final tweak. And after we're done getting money out of politics, we're gonna go get like religion out of the church.
It'll work, right? It'll work. This time, and one of the those signs they put in everyone's lawn, it was like no on one and welfare for politicians. And I'm thinking, that's all being a politician about is welfare. That's all they do. They get welfare. I mean, that's the whole purpose of being a politician, is to steal other people's money.
But now, are you're near Augusta? Is that correct?
I'm in Augusta.
You're in Augusta, and that is the state capital, right?
Oh yeah,
it's probably swarming with statists. You need to get out to like rural Maine, where like they don't even care.
Well, see, I'm on the outskirts of Augusta, so it's not too bad, and I don't have a lot of neighbors. But I got to tell you, man, I've watched this state, the people in it, become more statist over the last 10 years. It's scary. Like the gun thing, our legislature decreed that we no longer need to carry permission slips to conceal carry guns, which I think is great. But you wouldn't believe how many people were up in arms about this thing. You know,
not up in the right to bear arms, but up in arms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were just like, this is going to lead to more violence and make our streets unsafe. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Half the people I know have carried guns for years and didn't have a permit for it. They just did it, you know? And
that's the great part of Maine, is the part where people are like, well, I'm not even sure what laws you guys are passing. We just do what we want over here.
Well, it's true. I mean, I could tell you, many of us don't believe in hunting permission slips or fishing permission slips. In fact, I changed my Facebook profile to me hunting, and my friend's like, you got a permit for that? I was like, yeah, it's right next to my fishing license.
Yeah,
I hate it when people say my permit's the Constitution.
Tell me about it. they have a lack of understanding of history.
Worms.
So we'll be back.
Shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, hour number two, broadcasting from a seditious and Sagittarian summit, serving as an idle wheel to inconspicuously inculcate you with the intricate ideas of individualism.
And in.
And I guess we're covered by this really cool thing that Michael came up with called a BIPCOT, no government license, which it allows use by everyone except who?
The government.
Yeah. And you can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
BIPCOT just sounds so great coming from that New England accent of yours. BIPCOT.
Thanks, BIPCOT, man.
The no gov license.
I want to hear a New Yorker say it. They have the best.
Yeah, good luck finding a freedom fiend in New York.
Yeah.
It's possible. I don't want to write him off, but yeah.
We're broadcasting in New York right now.
Right now.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a few up there. So in the last hour, we were talking about the nonsense that is voting. And it's kind of funny. I've taken on a couple of new clients. And for those of you that don't know, I work with individuals with developmental disabilities. And I started working with this really awesome guy. He's like 50 years old. He's got Down syndrome. And he lives with his mom. And this lady is the sweetest, sweetest woman you will ever meet. She's 89 years old, and she still takes care of her son. Like, she does everything. She's amazing. I am totally blown away. Like, I work Monday mornings at 6:30, which is really hard for me to do. Get up, and I go there, and I feel so good. They're just so awesome. But anyway, we're sitting there one morning, and she says to me, she says, "Oh, do you like, what do you think of LePage, which is our bloated governor in Maine?" And, you know, I went on to say that I don't like him, and I don't really like any of them, that I'm an anarchist. And she was looked at me kind of funny, and she's like, "Well, what does that mean?" And I explained it to her, you know, how I don't believe in rulers and the slavery of the state. And she says, "So you don't vote, huh?" And I said, no, I don't vote. So she says, "Oh, so you can't complain." I said, "Well, actually, you know, I propose the argument that if you do vote, you can't complain because you get what you asked for." And she says, "Well, that makes sense." She says, "But if you don't vote, how does anything get done?" And, you know, we had this short little conversation back and forth. But I think that's the attitude of a lot of people. Like, voting and participation in the state is the only way to get things done. It doesn't occur to them that, you know, you can do things.
And it all gets boiled down to your opinion on one dude. One dude, Governor LePage, whose name sounds like pillage. And, yeah, what do you feel about him? And people really think that the, like, emotional state that they're in when they vote matters. Like, "Oh, well, I'm going to, if they don't nominate Bernie, I'm going to vote for Hillary, but I'm not going to be happy about it." Oh, I'm sure that the fact that you weren't happy is going to be factored in when they count the votes. They'll be like,
well, there's an unhappy vote.
Yeah, there's an unhappy one. Look at the mood ring on that ballot.
Well, it can be fun to troll the system, though. And as Steve Miller can attest, Steve Miller ran for, what was it,
for judge? Common Pleas, right? Judge. Yep.
Right. And if I recall, you got about 6,000 votes.
8,000. 7,998. Wow. 7,998. Yep.
And what was your platform again?
It was two words long, not guilty.
I love it.
And
that's awesome.
They asked me, they're like, "Well, what does that mean?" I'm like, "Every case that comes into my courtroom, no matter what the circumstances, as long as it's prosecutors and cops on, like, say, like, doing the charging, I will find you not guilty." And I had this really, like, awkward conversation with this woman from, and she was from some feminist organization. She's like, "What about domestic violence?" I'm like, "I've got a two-word plan for it, not guilty." They're like, "Well, what about sex crimes?" I'm like, "Two words, not guilty."
I just think we have enough guilty people already, right?
How many people have run saying that they were going to put everybody in jail that walks in front of them? "Oh, I'm going to be tough on crime. Da, 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 da. You know what? I'm going to be tough on the criminals. And I'm going to find everybody not guilty."
Well, that brings up an interesting point. I think we've talked about it a lot on the show before, but there's no such thing as justice in this country, right? Like, if you're a criminal, you break into my house. Like, I had somebody break into my car, you know, a few months back and steal all kinds of stuff. Now, if I'm assuming it's stupid kids, but whatever.
Thinking you live in Augusta, it could be like a state representative or something.
It could be. You know,
waiting for the bills to pass. They're going right now to get
Yeah, they're scraping my change jar because their welfare check didn't come in this week. But, you know, whatever. If these kids or whoever did it gets caught, right, then they'll have to do, you know, probably some jail time and maybe some restitution, but usually the restitution thing doesn't happen. So they get put in the criminal justice system, and then they just learn how to be better criminals while they're in that system. But do I get my cell phone back that got stolen? Do I get, like, the $10 in change back?
Hell no.
No, you know, I don't get made whole. So I actually pay for these people to go through a corrupt system and learn how to be even more efficient criminals. It just... Yeah, so
that's why I just say not guilty. You know,
I think your platform of not guilty totally works.
Yeah, that was it. And we did one campaign event, and that consisted of me putting on a dress and screaming at some white supremacists because they had an event called Drag Out the Nazis. And I was like, all right, well, what would I want the Klansmen to see? Like, if they were to all descend on the city, and I said, all right, well, election day's a week away. Let's get a bunch of dudes, put them in dresses. We'll scream at some people from the Villander Social Club, which I didn't know this beforehand, but apparently that's a super violent group. And I was putting people in danger by being like, hey, why don't we go scream at these people? But you know what? A good time was had by all.
Have you guys ever heard Henry Rollins' take on how to troll the KKK?
Mm-mm.
Oh, he does a skit where... he says, you got to infiltrate them and make up new costumes, you know, the hoods and everything, but have them rainbow and have some gay people in there and some black people in there under the hoods and have them marching out in the parade and get everyone cheering for them. Like,
right, hey, change it from the inside,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
instead of complaining about the KKK, join it and make the costumes rainbow colored.
I actually think it would be easier to conceal a black person than a gay person, because a gay person, when they make the Heil Hitler, their wrist would be all limp and their hand would just dangle. Yeah.
Dave Chappelle pretty much covered this whole line of comedy rather well.
Yep, sure did. Yep.
The master.
Well-worn comedic territory of the Black Klansmen.
Yeah.
That's what they do, though. That was That's still a good bit. Like, that holds up, like, after time. Chappelle's stuff was great.
I liked him back in the day.
Yeah, he went insane, too, and that's like the certification that it was really good, was that he went nuts.
Really?
Yeah, he moved to Africa. He was going to not talk to anybody ever again. And
really? What?
Yeah, Chappelle went crazy in like 2007, 2008-ish. Yeah, he went absolutely nuts.
Did he get it together?
Yeah, he's back. He did this Andy Kaufman-esque gig where people were like screaming for... It's very weird. So the internet has made people so used to getting what they want, used to having everything so interactive and so used to getting what they want, that when they see comedians that they like, they will call out requests like they're Lynyrd Skynyrd and be like, oh, play Freebird, or like do the joke about da-da-da-da-da. And Chappelle, as I do when people do this, hates that. Because, you know, he's an artist. You know, he'll do what he wants. He'll make you laugh and he'll do it the way he wants. Shut up, sit there, laugh. And people were doing this, and he sat everybody down and he read like six chapters from, I think it was The House of the Seven Gables or something, but he read like some old book to the people because they just were out of control. And he showed him, like, he's like, listen, you don't want me to make you laugh, you just want to hear whatever, we'll hear, how about I give you an audiobook and then we call it a day.
Wow.
Chappelle Show.
Yeah, that's one way to put down a heckler, is just you bore them to tears after they paid like $60 to see your show.
No, I don't think so. Hey, speaking of hecklers, you guys saw that video. I know I sent it to you guys about that that unruly kid in school.
Yeah,
what did and I'm not sure where this was. Somebody said it might have been Chicago.
It was definitely Chicago. Yeah.
Looked like it could have been Philly. The same kind of environment.
Yeah.
Could have been Detroit. Could have been Ohio.
Triggered by PTSD. Yeah.
Well, the one thing I noticed, like, aside from everything else.
Well, first let's describe the video for anybody that didn't see it. Okay. It's just a kid out of, like, some really nasty kids completely out of control in a classroom and a despondent teacher that looks like she's
doesn't
just
want
like,
to be there.
Just leave your body, it'll go away. Like, it's horrible. Anyway, go on, Chandler.
Well, the one thing that struck me first was that all the cabinets and the computers were chained down, locked, you know, so they couldn't be stolen. And I don't know, man. I haven't been to school in a long time, but I've been into my kid's school up here, and I don't think we have that yet. We haven't got to that point yet, so I guess we're fortunate.
They might have to sell them off in order to hire more cops for the school, so that's why they're not bolted down, because they might need to sell the metal to pay the cop salary.
Well, that was such a weird thing. Like, I grew up in Maine, and my freshman year, I moved to Florida, and there was a cop in the school. He had his own office and everything, and that just blew my mind.
Well, this dead-eyed teacher in the video calls for the cops, except she calls them security, which I don't know if that
means. Let me ask you a question, guys. I'm going to look at, there's different people involved in this scenario, and I want to ask your opinion about each one, okay? So let's start with the woman, presumably the teacher. Is she, A heroic, underpaid public servant, doing the best she can, or B, tax feeder, doing bad babysitting? Which do you think?
It's not an either-or scenario, and I can tell you that from personal experience.
I agree.
Okay, so neither, neither.
Both. Both. Both, not then. Neither, both.
Okay.
Yeah,
both. Okay, what do you think? So you're saying both. So you're saying she's a heroic, underpaid tax feeder?
For the amount of crap she has to put up with from these kids.
Heroic. Well, and that's the thing. Like, you taught, right, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah, so I've never, like...
Put a decade on my liver.
Yeah, I kind of teach, but not in that environment. But I have friends who became teachers, and they go into it with this idealism that they're going to change and they're going to help these kids. And then, you know, reality hits and they just become cynical. So I think, this teacher would qualify as both, like Steve said, definitely.
Okay, now the crazy kid who's like completely out of control, would you say he's a spoiled brat or rebel leader?
Both.
This is like one of those questions in the standardized test where the answer is not enough information given. Because
right.
I want to know what pills he's on, because that doesn't seem like an unmedicated kid to me.
Well, and you want to know what precipitated that event. Like he said something about don't ever ask me my name.
Yeah.
But there had to be something else, right?
No, there might not be.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see the pharmacological report on that kid.
Meow.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Freedom Fiends, relaxing your statism away. Or tasing you with liberty. You decide.
Ah, yeah. No, I'm with you, man. Relaxing your statism away works for me. It's so funny, too, because, like, if you would have known me, like, 5 years ago, I was one of those screaming and hollering about how we needed liberty and, you know, always arguing with people on the internet and in person. It used to drive my dad nuts. And, you know, he'll talk to me now and be like, so what do you think about so-and-so and the new law? And I'm like, I don't care. I've got more important things to do, and I just don't. I mean, I do care, don't get me wrong, but I don't stress out about it as much as I used to. And he's like, I'm so glad to hear you say that. I never thought you'd be like that. I'm like, well, you know, there comes a point when the screaming and hollering just has to stop and you've got to live.
Hey, so before the break, we were talking about the people in that video, this horrible kids, this out of control, and it's in a scary situation. Now, so we determined that the crazy kid is both a spoiled brat and possibly a rebel leader, okay? Yep. Now,
and here's probably on a bunch of different drugs. Don't forget that.
Okay, now what about the parents?
So he's like Jim Jones in that respect.
Okay. Now, the parents, are they A, dead? B, in jail, three, or C, too busy voting.
Okay. I think all three.
Yeah, okay. Given that it's Chicago, the potential for all of the above is a lot higher.
Yep. Exactly. Sure. At least dead and voting at the same time. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, or dead and in prison and voting, yeah.
Now, the people that are paying the bill for all of this, would you say that they're taxpayers and they're paying their fair share for a great service? Or victims of a shakedown operation?
Shakedown all the way.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only clear question that you've asked so far. Everything else has been a both and, whereas this is the only one where it's, yeah, obviously it's a shakedown. And you could, the only thing I can categorically guarantee you that's happening based on this video as a former teacher is I can guarantee you that the principal of that school does not give a rip what happens in the classroom at all.
Of course not. Oh, yeah. Of course not.
Yeah.
No, but, well, you know, it's interesting because you said, like, is the kid just a spoiled brat or a rebel? And we said both. But I remember back in my schooling days, the whole environment, as you guys have said very often, school is like a prison. You know, it's the younger version of prison, the adolescent
version. It is a prison.
And that sort of environment encourages that rebel attitude. Like, I was always a smart kid in school. I just didn't really apply myself because I thought it was a waste of time. And I would rather crack jokes and give the teacher a hard time because it gave me that feeling that, yeah, I was a rebel and, you know, kids love that. I was a leader of sorts, you know?
Yeah. Well,
so that environment fosters that.
Yeah. In a way, these kids are captives, right, by both mandatory attendance laws and perhaps their parents, which have either chosen or allowed this, right? Is it fair to look at all the students in that room as captives?
I think it is.
Mildly so, yes, but they're not the only ones. Like, you're talking about millions upon millions of kids go to an environment like this.
Yeah, exactly.
Ostensibly to learn every single day.
Right.
Learn? People are acting like this video for something rare and shocking when that was pretty much every single day when I was teaching.
Well, it definitely can be, though. It's not to say that every school is that way, and you know, I'm sure there's many teachers maintain order and actually do slip in some actual education in with the government schooling. But the question really comes up is like, okay, if we're going to recognize the people in that room as captives, okay, now what role does the teacher then have? Is she the captor? Is she working for the
She's
captor?
Just a prison guard.
Is she a jailer, a guard? What is her role really boil down to?
Guard.
She's a prison guard.
She's a guard. Okay. I was a prison guard.
Now, if you're a captive in a prison, how much respect do you owe the prison guard?
None.
Right.
I would say that it's not exactly the same as being a prison guard because they're not allowed to use the same amount of force.
They call in security to do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They frown on killing the customers.
At least prison guards could directly beat you. The fact that she can't directly beat the students, I think, owes her a modicum more respect than a prison guard.
Well, when I first watched that, you remember, Jane, I said that I think somebody needs to take this kid out back, you know.
The kid's obviously, like, does not look like a pleasant person.
No.
But,
I think he needs some, I said, you know, he should learn some respect. And it's not respect because there's a teacher in the room. It's just respect because there's a fellow human being and
an
adult.
Yeah, because you're a human being and you're walking around.
Yeah, and an adult, you know. I mean, even though I don't like cops, as a general rule, I'm still respectful and just very assertive in what I believe.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Yeah. In Survivor Max 2, School Bites, Maximus scavenges through a wasteland swarming with the undead. Desperate to find the medicine he needs, he discovers a community of survivors at his former school. Has he finally found the safe haven he's been looking for, or will he discover that school bites? Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, and read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Another segment. We've got Chandler St. Pierre. I'm Jim Babb. Steve Miller Miller. All right, let's wrap up this the school video thing. I kind of made some people mad on Facebook when I made the suggestion that said, hey, all the people in that room, that teacher was the only one that was there by choice. She made a conscious decision to be there. The taxpayers didn't get a choice. The students didn't get a choice. That woman there chose to be in that position. And I'm like, because at first I was like, I felt really bad for her. You know, I just hate to see any human being, you know, traumatized. But then I was like, you know, maybe the victims are these obnoxious kids. And the villain in the room is that poor, despondent woman. You know, just what a disaster of a system. I mean, I guess is really the ultimate conclusion for me.
What a disaster of a system. Adolescence is a disaster of a system. Those kids are in late, middle, early high school where you are hardwired to be as obnoxious as possible as much of the time as possible. So you put 30 of those kids in a room together and, well, things like that happen.
Well, I think it's more than that. I mean, there's plenty of places where you put 30 kids like that together and nothing like that happens. But
true.
You know, in a situation like this where it's just the worst school, you know, why do those kids want to be there? Like, and some people on Facebook were like, hey, well, listen, you know, you shouldn't, you know, yeah, you can say, you know, it's wrong and everything. But, it, you know, if you had your way, they wouldn't be getting any education at all. And I'm like, look at the video. Do you see them getting education? No. Let's not pretend like there's any positive benefit to that system. You know,
oh, they're learning all right.
They're learning something. I felt bad for the quieter kids in the back that are just like trying to endure, just trying to pass the time. I'm trying not to, you know, become the victim or, you know, participate in the ridiculous behavior. But anyway, so yeah, people got mad at me and when I started comparing the kids to being captives and didn't
so
think
it was just
my analogy,
another typical day on Facebook for Jim Babb.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm comparing everything to slavery.
You're like Ben Carson.
That's what statism is. Yeah. What did he say about slavery?
He's comparing everything to slavery.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's his big gig now. When you're the token black man in the Republican thing, one of the important parts of your role is to compare things to slavery so that the white people who are voting for you to prove that they're not racist can be like, oh, that's right. You know, maybe I don't understand what it's like to be chattel slavery and to be owned by another person, but I do pay the sales tax, and that is a little bit like slavery, et cetera.
You know, it's just a difference of degree. That's all, you know, and it is. It sounds ridiculous when you put it that way, but let's face it, you know, it's involuntary servitude.
And the other thing is that I hate it when I hear people who, especially more like libertarians than anarchists, but libertarians will be like, man, why aren't black people into libertarianism? And then be like, I'm a slave because I didn't like the way my city councilwoman talked to me on the phone. You know, People that are descendants of actual slaves. Well, okay, so that's something I said. I was making fun of myself there.
Okay,
because,
yeah.
Anytime any government official annoys me at all, I call Maria, who you've personally met, Jim Babb, who got reelected today.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
sadly. Of course she did, right?
Yeah, my corrupt city councilwoman got reelected. Jim Babb and Josie the Outlaw made a great video on YouTube if you ever want to go look it up.
Her name is Maria Quiñones Sanchez, or we just call her Dirty Sanchez.
Dirty Sanchez.
Yep. Yep.
She's kind of like a mini mayor in Philadelphia, that your council person gets to decide like the dispensation of property and zoning and all these things that are crucial if you want to do anything.
Petty tyrants are the worst, aren't they? Worst.
Petty like, tyrants are the worst.
Like just like inept little like weasel. You know. Speaking of, I was contacted by my government recently through the sewer authority. Okay. The sewer authority, like, you know, we're the, you know, we rule the
sewers.
We
settle sewer disputes.
Yeah, like I'm thinking of like the mutants, you know, from Futurama that like, anyway, they gave me this letter and they said, well, you know, we're, it seems like there's too much wastewater and we want to inspect everyone's house and make sure their sump pumps aren't plugged into the wastewater disposal system. And they sent me this letter, and of course, I just ignore it. I'm like, do I know you? Like, I don't even, like, sorry, but I would never mail these people a letter suggesting I needed to come to their house. I don't know why they're contacting me. So finally, I get a bill for $50. They're like, yeah, well, you didn't, you know, respond. I said, okay, so now I have to send them a letter and be like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, got your request to search my property without a warrant, and your request for my consent is denied. And anyway, so this guy calls me. Then he calls me. He's like, yeah, I just want to explain to you why we're doing it. We have to brew the wastewater. But wait. I said, you can inspect your property, but you're not, you know, there's no way I'm consenting to you coming into my house. Just forget about it. well, anyway, I don't know where this is going to go. I have no idea how much power these guys have or can muster. I said, if you think I've committed a crime, I suggest you take your evidence and go get a search warrant. I don't know.
They'll probably just be like, oh, it's one of those people. Let's just. Whatever.
Let's just keep mailing them bills and see what happens.
Yeah, and then eventually they'll just be like, well, we'll just write it off that we inspected it. You know, from what I understand, somebody explained to me how the whole the bill from your city for water and sewer works. And if it's true, which I want to check into, but I believe it is, it's a total scam, right? Because every 3 months when I get my bill, the sewer is always higher, which doesn't make sense to me. Because, you know, I eat
about the same amount every day.
Yeah. And, you know, like as far as, you know, showers and toilets and all that. I mean, I usually take a lot of my showers at the gym when I go to the gym every day. Right. And apparently how they do it is they come up with this secret government formula based on the amount of water that comes into your house. So some of that water has to be go back out as sewer water. It's just such a scam. And I was like,
wow. You
know, oh yeah. And they rape you on that. I mean,
and what are you supposed to do? Go to switch providers, you know,
yeah,
it's a little mini monopoly and they're like, I mean, they have a lot of power sometimes in these little stupid little fiefdoms of theirs.
But. Oh, they do. Totally. Like the guy that I bought the house from, he used to have a well and a septic system and they forced him to switch to city water and sewer, like literally forced him. He didn't want it. And, you know, they made him do it.
They stood there with a syringe full of fluoride and they said, get out here. We're going to inject you with this right now.
Yep. So you might as well get used to it.
Well, I asked this sewer authority dude, like, you know, like, well, where do you get the authority to bill me $50? He goes, well, we voted on it and, you know, we passed it and we decided. I said, well, we also took a vote over at my house and it says, and we determined that we don't have to. So
that's awesome.
Like, no, thank you. No inspection is required or requested. Move, you know.
Your services are no longer required.
I think I'm going to go to their. They have like a meeting, and I said, you know, I said, when's your meeting? I might just. sometimes I get bored enough to go to these stupid meetings and just yell at people and disrupt them and then go home. And, you know, like, it's a waste of time, but I do it anyway.
But it's fun.
I'll go with you to the meeting, Jim, and we'll make bingo boards in advance for, like, things that'll happen in the meeting, and the first person that'll get the bingo. We'll have some unique way of, you won't just, like, stand up and shout bingo. You'll stand up and you'll shout, you know, six separate here it is or whatever at the water board meeting. Oh, man, this is what libertarianism has come to, screaming at the water board meeting.
See, no, I don't scream at people. What I want to do is just...
Well, no, you'd only scream if you got bingo on your bingo board.
Okay. I just want to see how much
just
damage
make sure
I can
you
do.
Record this.
Oh, yeah. Please. Well, the audience is for YouTube. It's not the people that would go to a sewer authority board meeting, right?
We're sewer anti-authoritarians.
Yeah. People are going to assume, like, oh, you're against the sewer. You just want your sewage to back up. You don't even want a sewer. You're an anarchist.
Without government, who will process the sewage?
My sewers.
Well, without government, there would be no Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Right. Everybody's sewage would just back up and eventually just explode, right, without government sewers.
If anyone asks me about political just need beliefs to from now on, I'm just
going to
say
pipe it all into the Capitol. Just pipe it into the city hall, the Capitol.
Or just wait for some like giant crack to open up in your state and just pump it in.
The elementary school that I went to had a sewer like lake next to it. It had a sewage treatment plant right next to it. And during recess, it would always smell a full-on feces.
Oh, yeah. God.
And, yeah, it was a good preview for what the rest of my life would be like, both as a student and teacher in the school system. Here it is, thick and heavy in the air. And it would be to the point where, like, even kids would not want recess because, like, yeah, they would try to, like, tone recess. But, yeah, any other time it would be just... insane. And the teachers would be like, oh, you get an extra recess today. And you would hope that it would rain so you could go into the gym so you wouldn't have to smell the pond.
You'd think, like, the government's supposedly so superior and smart that they could find a way to not make it smell. Because I know the wastewater treatment plant here, there's a rail trail. It goes along the old railroad. It's one of the city, you know, public works things that they did. It's not a bad trail or whatever. We used to just walk the tracks when we were kids, and it goes right by this wastewater treatment plant. And
notice those rail trails go through all the worst parts of town. Like,
yeah, it's because it's on the wrong side of the tracks, like, literally.
Like, think they put all the garbage near the railroad because nobody wanted to live there. So they're like, you get the dumps and the dumpsters and the backs of ugly buildings and the wastewater treatment plants and all the it's like,
that's government planning for you. I'm
fun to see on your bike trail once it's converted, you know.
Yep.
Did you know that it's possible to bike from Pittsburgh to Washington D.C. on a rails to trails thing? And because there were railroad tracks, it's like a 1% grade the entire time, so it's almost entirely flat all the way from Pittsburgh to D.C. You could just get on a bike and go.
But why would you want to?
Exercise.
I don't know. In Pittsburgh, even DC could be an upgrade. No, I take that back.
Nah, never.
You know, it's sad because, like, there's a lot of cool architecture and all that stuff in DC that I'd
cool
like
to see. Cool if you're the Illuminati and you're sacrificing a goat.
Well, yeah. So much truth. You're not supposed to talk about that. That's a secret.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch, and now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out.
LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
All right, we are back. This is the final segment. Yeah, Freedom Fiends. Great. So let's try to get to some good news. You know, covered some of these, some ugliness out there in the world, people voting and throwing stuff in holes and throwing their kids in holes. And anyway, but Chandler, you brought to my attention something I thought was super cool, and that's the Cats at Work project. And maybe you can sort of elaborate on this.
Yeah, so out in Chicago, there's a brewery, Empirical Brewery, I guess, and they've had a consistent rodent problem, rats, you know, because I guess they're drawn to the grain, and this is nothing new. Every brewery has this.
Right, especially these high-quality, expensive grains are susceptible to rodents, of course.
Yeah. So they tried the exterminators and everything, and it just wasn't working out. So they've adopted 264 feral cats within Chicago, and then 130 in the suburbs. And they've made like these little, tree houses and things, and kept the cats in the factories and the barns, the loading docks, and behind the restaurants and everything. And these cats are patrolling and taking care of the rodent problem. And I guess there's a historical precedent for this. There's one I was just reading. Towser the Mouser, once proud Scotland's gluten turrent distillery, in operation since 1775. He estimated 28,899 lifetime mouse kills. You know, it earned him a place in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Well, see,
so that's a really creative solution.
But then the problem is, it's like, then what do you do with the cat problem? Then you have to bring in like 750 wolves and release them to handle the cat problem.
How could there ever be a cat problem?
Well, they just hundreds of cats running around. Like, what are you going to change their litter boxes? I mean,
all right, the litter box thing, maybe. I get that. But other than that, man, I wouldn't mind having hundreds of cats running around.
Well, I think as long as they have a wild, you know, sort of a more wild existence.
Well, it seems like it's they're not just enclosed in buildings. So from reading this article, they prowl the whole area, and they're, you know, free to come.
And then there's the wolf problem. You've got 750 wolves. They eat all the cats. Now you have to go get like 900 tigers to come handle your wolf problem. See where this could go? This could get really out of hand.
This leads to like velociraptors.
If you give a brewery a cat,
I'm laughing. Yeah.
Yep. That's all it takes. All it takes is one.
Yeah. But I think this is a really creative idea, and there's some really cute pictures of cats standing on kegs of beer and stuff, and standing on the bags of grain and patrolling. I mean, yeah, it's innovative, and I don't know, man. I'd love to work at a brewery anyway.
It's very retro.
It is.
Yeah.
And having working at a brewery that has a bunch of cats wandering around, I think would just be very gratifying.
You know, I guess I still have mixed feelings. I like to think of, like, you know, a brewery is like a kitchen, like a sanitary place where they're like making, you know, like, you know, very specific, you know, it's like somewhere between like a chemist lab and a kitchen. And I don't think of like animals roaming freely is really being part of that. But
well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely, you need to have a certain level of
but in the warehouse where they're storing the grains and stuff, I think that's fine, but I don't think I'd want them. I don't know.
I don't, like, do you have cats?
Not currently, no, thank goodness. I do. Well, I consider myself a fan, but just preferably, like, you know, cats in the wild. The coon, yeah. The Maine coon cats, you know.
I saw a cat the other day driving home. I don't know if it was a lynx or what.
Where was the cat driving from?
Down the road. it was pretty big, too. I don't know what it was driving. Yeah,
a
crazy,
jaguar.
Though. A jaguar, that's it. Yeah. It was pretty cool looking, though. It ran across the street. It was much bigger than a normal cat, so it must have been like a lynx or something. But.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, we should also mention that Steve Miller is not going to be the... What is that?
Superintendent of Highways, but thank you, Samson, for the vote.
Yeah. You're down from your last election.
Throw it in a hole. Yeah, down to one.
Votes, but down to one. But, you know, you're still in there, and people still are still trying to vote.
Not giving up the fight.
Oh, well. Well, hey, it's been great yakking with you guys.
Very
indeed.
Nice.
It was a pleasure.
Always and, a good time.
All you out guys out in Radio Land, take care.
Yep. Meow. Worms.
Worms and meow.